I titled this one Testimony, Testimony. And I was actually going to go Testimony, 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 Testimony. And by the way, if I didn't tell you, it's testimony. Because that's what it's all about. When Paul here is talking and he's exhorting the new man in Colossians, and he's saying, listen, it's all about testimony. You know, we really, really now, we can never absolutely destroy the testimony of God, because God carries His own testimony, and God is God, and He's not dependent upon us for anything. He just wishes to give us, give to us and to bless us when we're a blessing and we're obedient to Him. And so when we talk about testimony, how many people would have you looked at and they go, well, I'm a Christian. This would be maybe before you got saved, or even now that you've been saved, and you go, wow, if that's what a Christian is, whoo, I don't want no part of it. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, you know, they go, I'm a Christian. And they go, yeah, well, hey, I'm John. Glad to meet you. We're no different. Isn't that kind of what it is? And then today's Christians, as you guys all know, I don't mind throwing out names. I think, you know, it needs to go where it belongs, and so I just kind of put it there. And but Oprah was on, I was going through YouTube's trying to find videos on testimony, you know, and I come across one with Oprah on there, and Oprah said, first off, she says, Jesus can't be the only way to heaven. Well, that right there just shows you she doesn't know as much as she thinks she does. But the second thing that she says is, I'm a Christian. Now, wait a minute. Do you understand what Christian is? Christian is Christ follower. Jesus Christ, Son of God, follower. And so, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I follow Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The Jesus Christ that goes in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's the Son that I'm talking about, that Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that went and died on the cross and shed His blood for you and me, that Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Him. If you're not a follower of that Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. Now many go, I'm a Christian. And then you look at their lifestyle and go, really? Well, you know, God says that we have all these freedoms, and God's all about love, and He loves me just the way I am. I think God would love to smack you in the back of the head just the way you are. Because He calls all of us to holiness, all of us to righteousness. He doesn't want us just the way we are. He wants us growing. Ever, ever growing. Now, as I'm reading I really love to read the history and the culture of the Bible. It just kind of grabs me, you know, and pulls me in. And so as I'm reading, I'm going to call it a history book for lack of a better term for it, about, some of you are smiling because you know what book I'm talking about. A history book that gives you more detail about Abraham. And the detail of Abraham when he took Isaac to the mountain to sacrifice him. You guys remember that story? And he said, listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to sacrifice Isaac. And he goes up there and Satan tries to intervene, according to this history book. Satan keeps trying to intervene. And Adam says, Abraham says, Satan, get behind me. Satan, I don't want to hear it. He recognizes him immediately. But for Sarah, it's not so. Sarah actually listens to Satan, not knowing it's Satan, and ultimately it costs her. Now, I'm not saying that... wait a minute. Same thing happened with Adam and Eve, didn't it? Maybe there's something about this correlation here through history. No, I'm kidding. But listen, you know, what's happening is... Because really what it depends on is your relationship. It's your relationship with God is going to determine your testimony that people see. And it's also going to determine who you listen to, whether it's God or Satan. And let me tell you something, the devil, he gets his nose in there, man. He'll put somebody in there that's ungodly, doesn't know the Lord, and gives you wisdom, but it's Satan's wisdom, not God's wisdom. And you go, but I really respect this person, but it's not of God. Yeah, but you know what, man, he's a good person. Well, that's good. But listen, is it contrary to the Word of God? I don't know. Why don't you know? I don't read the Word of God. I thought you were a Christian. It's amazing because Christians don't read the Word of God and they listen to ungodly people and they say, well, God's all love. God is all love. But God's just. And He's righteous. And we can't forget those as much as love. See, we say God's all love because this goody, goody, ooey, gooey feeling, right? It's kind of like Easter when you get one of them Cadbury. You know, on the outside, you go, okay, that's good, but on the inside, it's all ooey, gooey, you know. And we think God's love is that way, and I'm here to tell you God's love is that way, but His love is also the hard outer shell. Because His love says, sometimes I have to chastise you. Sometimes I got to spank you. I wish He would do it a little more often. I think that one and that one and that one and that one and that one, they all need a good spanking. Here's the battle. But I can't do that. We're going to talk about testimony. Now, not just testimony in us and how we should live, but testimony and how we should present it to other people. Because that's what he unfolds here. Look in Colossians 4, 3 through 6. We're going to read this real quick, and then I want to show you a video. It says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so as we're going through this, guys, listen, this is testimony. Not only testimony, because some people go, well, I live my testimony through my life. What, you don't talk? You don't share Christ? I don't want to offend anybody, so I just live it out. I hope nobody in here is doing that, because I'm about to offend you. Okay, I won't. You got the idea. But listen, what do you mean? How can you say, well, I'm not going to speak God, I'm just going to live it out. I'm just going to be that good person. Because you know how many good people are dying and going to hell? It's called being moral. Listen, I know a lot of good, matter of fact, I know some moral people that are going to die and go to hell that are 100 times better than people who claim to be Christian. They're still going to die and go to hell. I think it's unfair. But God says, here's what's fair. Not everybody can afford to buy their way to heaven. Not everybody can or have the ability to work their way to heaven. Not everybody can. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody can give their heart to Jesus. That makes it fair. But not everybody wants to give it to Jesus. Because some people go, well, if I accept Jesus, then I got to quit doing this, and I got to quit doing that, and I got to... Well, who said? You're putting all these restrictions on a God you don't even know. Maybe God will give you permission to dope it up and get drunk and lay out in the street vomiting and a car almost hitting you. I don't know. I highly doubt it, but maybe. And we put all these restrictions and... Guys, I just want you to know that when we live our lives, we have to live it so that it doesn't bring shame to our Father. And when we talk about Jesus, we got to do it in a way that attracts people and is not obnoxious and pushes them away. You guys know who I'm talking about, right? What about, you guys ever go somewhere? You don't see it here because they'll get shot. But in the South, you ever see people standing out on the street corner holding up signs, screaming, "You're going to hell! You need God!" You ever say, am I the only one? Or you guys, anybody else ever see that? Okay, so you're a witness. Others are looking at me like, that doesn't really happen. That really happens. Who's going to listen to that? I want to swerve, and I love Jesus. I want to swerve and hit them. Because they're hurting Christians. You know, I'm going, listen, I love it. You just want to kind of go up to them and go, man, what's, like, can you explain? I love Jesus, but do you honestly think one person is listening to you? Man, I think somebody's getting ready to put a car in reverse. They're going to back up on you. That's what they're going to do. We can't do that. So I thought I would show some videos on how we should or should not share our testimony. Go ahead and pull them up.
Coffee's hot, I just burned my tongue.
No.
You gotta watch that, man.
Hey, you think that's hot?
Yeah.
You gotta try that burn 7 billion times hotter all over your entire body as you enter into the pits of hell because you haven't made a profession of faith turning your life over to the will of Jesus Christ. That is a burn you won't get over. We saved you a cookie.
Too deep, too soon.
Okay, so as they're getting the other video up, I would say that this is not a good approach, okay? All right, let's see the other one.
Hi! It's your neighbors, Jim and Julina Sanders.
From next door.
How are you? Hey, we totally know that you don't like going to church with us, so we're not even here to invite you to church, all right? We're not even here to tell you the four little happy hops to heaven.
We're not even here to sell you fire insurance. You know, from down there.
You get that hell?
Yeah.
No. Hey. Honestly, yeah. What we want to do right now is we just want to serve you through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Now, we know that you don't get us,
no. And
why should you? You're a heathen.
That's
we get
right.
that, all right?
Yeah.
So what we want to do is just be here to understand you and to serve you in some ways. You know, what can we do for you? That's what Jesus asked all the time. Now, we noticed on your mailbox that you had some balloons out there. Did someone die? Can we offer some condolences?
No. Oh, you had a baby.
Oh. Pink means joyfulness. I get it.
I
okay, but how about this? Can we wash something for you? You're probably tired.
That's a great idea.
Maybe we could wash your dishes.
Yeah. Or wash your car.
Wash the lawn. Wash the mailbox. Wash the dog.
Oh. Wash the dog.
We could even wash the washer for you. Not.
He said not.
I love putting that word at the end of a sentence.
I'll do it again.
I got nothing. Not. So I did. We not do any of that, but we just come to do what we should do, and let us just wash your feet.
Yeah, because you know, hang on, I'm not done. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and so we want to wash your feet.
Yeah, we know you're not our disciple yet. Hold on. All right. What I'm gonna do is, I just got this water basin here, and I just want to wash your foot.
Yeah.
All right, stick out your big toe. Just stick out your big toe.
Come on. No.
This will be over in just a minute.
Just take a second.
Okay. Now I got the shoe. Now just give me your toe.
Yeah,
all right. Just give me your toe.
Well, that's a fine howdy, dude.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll just leave the shoe here.
We'll leave the brownies.
I guess we'll go next door.
Okay. Can I talk more this time?
It's not your place, baby.
Okay.
What a friend we have
indeed.
Okay. Hopefully, I have shown you two different styles of obnoxiousness, and you really don't want to do either one of them. Okay. How do we give our testimony? What is our testimony, and how can we give our testimony to where it's effective? How many here have struggled with giving their testimony and go, I just can't get my... You can be honest. Come on. Okay. Thank you. You're all not alone. And we struggle giving our testimony. Well, Paul here, he helps us out. And guys, that's what I want to do for you today. I want to help you out to understand how we should live and give our testimony so that it honors Christ and isn't obnoxious or offends them and turns them away. You know, because when I first got saved, and when I was a newbie, and I would tell people, man, you need Jesus or you're going to hell. Look, that's straight up. You're going to go straight to hell. And people just kind of look at me. Now, me, I'm so on fire, and they need to hear the truth. I don't care that they're looking at me like I'm a strange quack, because I was kind of like them. You know, you guys were looking at them. That was me. And I look at that, and the sad part is I can relate, and I just praise God that I've grown up a little bit and have gotten past it. Okay, the first thing we're going to look at here is prudent, that we have to be prudent in conduct. Prudent in conduct. If we look here in 4:5, it says that we must guard our testimony. That's the next one, I'm sorry. We must guard our testimony. And say, how do we do that? We are to walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Now, with all of this is our behavior. With all of this, we look at it, and it's talking about our behavior. Our walk is our behavior. Our walk is our talk. You know, you've heard the saying, I can't hear what you're saying because of what you're doing. You guys, you know that? How sad is it that we're telling people about Jesus, but they can't get over the fact that you have burnt them, ripped them off. You've done things that you're now telling them they can't do, and there's no repentance. sense, and we go through this whole process. Well, when we do that, it's not guarding our testimony, and then we try to share Jesus with somebody, and they just don't want to hear us. What about Peter? Just look at Peter for a second. Remember when Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane Malchus reaches out to get Jesus, and what does Peter do? Lops off his ear, right? Now, can you imagine that afterwards? Let's just pretend that Jesus didn't put his ear on and heal him and create this miracle that just left him in awe, and he never left the garden after that. But let's just think about this for a second. Now they're at the fire. Jesus is going to be, he's already arrested. And so Peter comes up to Malchus and he goes, "Hey, let me tell you about him, man. He's the Savior of the world." What's he going to do? "Man, you just cut my ear off. How about I stab you and cut your tongue out or something?" Do you think that Malchus is going to want to hear Peter give a testimony of Jesus Christ? No. And so, guys, we have to watch what we do. We got to watch how we walk in our wisdom. How about an employee wants to see his boss get saved, but yet he's padding his account, lying on his hours, taking things from work that doesn't belong to him, so on and so forth. Do you really think the boss is going to hear what you got to say about Jesus? No. They don't want to hear you when you're worse or as bad or worse than what they are. Or how about a neighbor who borrows something? And I'm not saying any here of you have done that, because I'm sure none of you are guilty of this. You borrow something, and then you forget to return it, but you see it 15 times. God reminds you, "Hey, that needs to go next door." And yet you go, "Well, I can use it one more time. I'll take it when I'm done." No, you've been done for a year. Do you think they're going to want to hear about Jesus? No, because you know what they remember? You stole that thing they let you borrow. Guys, we have to protect our testimony. We have to guard it, Paul says. And then the next thing we must guard that he talks about here is that we must guard our time. So we must guard our testimony, and then we must guard our time. It says, redeeming the time. Guys, this one probably is more vital than anything that I have to say today, except for that Jesus died for you and wants you to be a child of the King and that you need to receive Him as your Savior. Other than saying that, this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say today, that we have to redeem the time. We are stewards of our time. Listen, and time is a non-renewable source. When it's gone, it's gone. But we think, "Oh, well, you know what? I have tomorrow." The Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. James says that we're not promised tomorrow. We're here for a little while and then we're gone. We vanish away. We're like a vapor. Have you ever taken Lysol and sprayed it in the air? And you see the mist for a minute, and then it doesn't take long at all. That mist is gone. You don't see it. Now you can smell it, so you know the mist was there, but it was gone. Guys, that's the way our lives are. We're here for a little time. People see us, but then we're gone. Did we make a lasting effect for God that afterwards they know we've been there? Or have you just squandered your time? You've just given your time up. You do nothing with it. There's a story that I found. It said, suppose that a wealthy man were to give someone $1,440 a day to spend. How many would like $1,440 a day to spend? I would like that. He had to spend it. The gift did not allow him to save it, still less to hoard it. At the end of each day, what was not spent was lost. The same sum would arrive every day until the end of his life. Kind of like the lottery, isn't it? Pretty cool. Then an accounting would be made of what the recipient had done with the sum. There it was, $1,440 a day to spend or squander, to be used buying things for oneself or helping others, to be wasted on trifles or invested for eternity. Every day God gives us 1,440 minutes to be spent by us and us alone. The question is, how are you spending it? We have to spend it. We cannot save up some of today's time for tomorrow. We have none of yesterday's time left over for today. All these precious minutes are ours. See, as I was talking about money, you guys were in your head, I'm sure, equating, well, I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do this, and I could do that. But what about with your time? And let's talk about the tithe for a minute. This is where everybody loathes the preacher. Not loves, loathes the preacher when he talks about money. But I want to talk about money just for a minute, because it's really not about money. If we say we owe God 10%, we owe God 10%, man, 10%, which I feel like we do. The Bible is very consistent from the beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation. It talks about the tithe, and it talks about we owe God 10% of our tithe. But what about 10% of our time? Have you ever thought about that for a second? Man, I'm going to give God 10% of my time. 10% of 1,440 minutes, or 10% of 24 hours. I'm going to give God 10% of this, which would be 2 hours and 40 minutes that we'd have to give God every day. Now, how many here have 2 hours and 40 minutes to give God every day? I think we all do, if we rearranged our schedule. Now, that means, because you go, I can't go out and work for God for 2 hours. No, no, here's what I'm talking about. How about reading, prayer, meditation, serving is in there. We need to serve others. What about all that stuff? 10% we owe God. If we owe God the first fruits of everything. My question is, how many, and I don't want to see no hands, I'm not looking for guilty people, how many even give God 30 minutes a day? Just 30. Oh, I love New Year's. New Year's is a time when God, I can imagine, he for that split second, he goes, huh, what? Because everybody has a New Year's resolution that they're going to start living right, praying, reading, and so all of a sudden God gets all this attention that he's not used to. Can you imagine that? And it only lasts for about 3 days, and he knows it. So I think God just kind of takes it up for them 3 days, because, you know, New Year's resolutions don't even always go a week. But think about that for a minute, guys. Paul says we need to redeem the time. And I want you to know that there is a judgment day for Christians. There really is. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. That's when we're going to be held accountable for when we redeem the time. So we think, oh, nobody sees me, it's not a problem. We think, oh, well, you know what? It's not pressing, and oh, let somebody else take care of it. That's okay. But understand this. And this isn't a guilt trip, and I'm not trying to pressure anybody into anything, because right now I don't think of anything I need done. But I'll let you know when it's time for guilt and pressure. I'm kidding. But we think, I really don't do that. But we think, oh, okay, no problem. That day's gone, and it's over, and who's going to hold us accountable for it? God. God. It's written down in the book. And by the way, the book doesn't get lost, wet, burnt, stolen, molded, mildewed, or nothing. That book is solid. Well kept, preserved, protected. And very, very accurate. We'll be held accountable. Psalm 90:12 tells us on redeeming the time, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our days. Guys, our time is short. How many of you have ever said, man, I wish, one of these days I'm going to do that. One of these days I'm going to go there. One of these days, you ever been there? Why do we keep putting that off? One of these days I'm going to tell them about Jesus. One of these days I'm going to share Christ with them. Man, one of these days. And then my next question is, well, why don't you? Well, I might offend them. You think hell's not going to offend them? We love them so much, we love them straight to the pit, because we don't want to offend them. It's kind of like people that have children and they don't spank their children. They don't discipline their children. Well, I don't want them mad at me. Fine, then I'll be mad at you. But either way, somebody's going to be mad at you for not doing what you're supposed to do. Do you get it? Guys, we need to share. We need to number our days and realize it's coming to a close. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of Him. By the way, this is Jesus. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. There's coming a day when we're not going to be able to work. The end of the time is coming, guys. And whether it's the time of your life or the time of the universe or the time of the world or Jesus Christ coming, whatever it is, the time is coming and there's going to be a day where we can't do anything. There's going to be a day when people are going to take their last breath and you very well may have been the one that could have went and shared Christ with them where they received Jesus as their Savior and it changed their destination forever. You could have been the one. Well, I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm shy. You need to praise God. Nobody was shy when they shared Jesus with you and you got saved and you were born again and your hope is heaven and your hope is a Savior who heals and loves and gives and blesses. I'm shy. I'm not even going there because I get in the flesh and then have to repent before I finish my message. Listen, Paul expressed urgency of time in Romans 13, 11 through 14. It says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of a sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now that's Paul. That's what Paul had to say. And what he's saying is, quit putting your lustful, sinful desires ahead of God. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. And sometimes what we do, guys, we get so caught up. Listen, I know I do. My schedule has been so packed lately for way too long that literally I would get up in the morning and I would go to work. And I'd work, because I'm working a secular job, I'd work all day, and then I would leave there, I'd go home, I'd shower, and then go do something for church, and literally, we're talking almost every night of the week, my children hardly ever see me, and when they did see me, I was a bear, because I'm just scatterbrained, and so then I would go and do what I had to do, and then I would go home, and then I would shower again, because, you know, I glisten a lot, and so... And so then I go home and I shower again and I sit down. As soon as I sit down, my kids are already in bed. They're already asleep or half asleep by the time I get home. I look at my wife. I say, I love you. I go shower and I go to bed. And I get up the next day and I do it again. And I have been keeping up this schedule 7 days a week, about 85% of the time, 7 days a week. And I went, man, my testimony is shot because I'm irritable. You know, so now they're going, oh, where's the love of Jesus in Him? I got your love. Get out of my way. Just leave me alone. You know, isn't that what we feel like sometimes? I mean, I'm just being honest. Don't we feel that way sometimes? But I'm like, man, get out of my face. I didn't invite you over here. I don't want to share. Lord, you find another way to share Jesus with Him. I'm not interested, right? And finally, I stood back and went, John, what are you doing? Man, God's called you to reach the lost. He's called each and every one of us to reach the lost. He's just called me to organize a place that we can meet together to encourage one another and then go reach the lost. And so I put in my notice. My last day at my secular job is Wednesday. That's not on video. And so that's the last day. And you know what I get to do? I get to focus on reaching the lost. I get to focus on telling people about Jesus again. I get to focus on reading and studying and just taking all of God in that He has to offer. I get that back. See, guys, we do what we want to do. And that's why I totally adjusted my time. Financially, what's going to happen? God knows. He has never let us go hungry, and He's never let us miss our bills. The Bible says that He will supply all of our needs, and He has been so good at that. So why should I think I can do any better than Him? I'm doing what I've been called to do. He's going to bless. You do what God's called you to do, and He'll bless you too. All right. The next thing we're looking at is our conversation. We have to be our pungent in conversation. And pungent was the only word that I could come up with a P that went with my next point. But think about that word for a minute. You know, if you smell something and you go, whoo, it was a little pungent. Pungent in our conversation means strong, effective. And that's how we have to be. Some of us, and guys, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a time and a day and age where electronics have just consumed everybody's life and they don't even read anymore. I'm constantly pushing books for people to read. And even my boss now, the owner of the company that I'm working for now, I go to him at least once a month. I'd go to him. So I've recommended at least 7 or 8 books, maybe more to him. And I'd go to him and I'd say, hey, got a new book for you. Now, he's leadership, but I'm trying to get him saved. So every book that I recommend to him has to do about leadership and has the gospel in it. Praise God. It's good. So I went to him and I go, hey man, I got this last book I recommended to him. I'm going to recommend it to you guys. It's called Visioneering. Visioneering. V-I-S-I-O-N-E-E-R-I-N-G. Visioneering is put out by Andy Stanley. Good book. All on scriptures. It's all the scriptures, and it talks about having a vision and growing. And guys, every one of us need a vision. Even if you don't have your own business, you need a vision for your family. You need a vision for your life. You need a vision and a direction for everything that you do. And if you don't have that, then what happens is we tend to be wanderers. We tend to just roam about, scratching our head, going, what am I going to do next? I don't know. Why? Because you have no vision. You don't know what you want to accomplish. You got to have a vision. And then you have to set your goals. And guys, when you do that, man, God is in there and He should be your focal point. He should be everything you center your everything around. And then when you're pursuing your vision, you're obtaining your goals, it's all God-centered and your testimony is going to be fantastic. Your conversation is going to be unbelievable. Why? Because you're setting yourself up for success. You're adding knowledge in. I was talking to somebody the other a while back, and I said, man, do you read your Bible? No. Do you ever read your Bible? No. And the frustration would mound in them. And so they would come to Bible studies, and frustration would just add up because they didn't know what I was talking about. They weren't in the Word of God, so they didn't know the Word of God. They couldn't answer. They couldn't partake. Couldn't be a part of it. And that's the only thing they would get once a week of Bible study and then church. Well, then this person said, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to start reading it every day. That's awesome. I love it. All of a sudden, come to Bible study, and that person would understand what I was talking about. Then get excited. Because they go, oh, I read that. Let me tell you what I read the other day. And they were able to join in. The conversation became unbelievable. Why? Because they obtained knowledge. And they were able to talk about God because they understood God. I think that's why most Christians don't live their life, because they don't know God. They don't know what He expects. We had this new law passed just recently allowing homosexual marriages. Or gay marriages, or whatever, LGBT... anyway, I don't care. I'm trying to maintain here. That you have to marry them. Well, the best part about it is there's a clause in there that those that don't agree don't have to do the ceremonies. Praise God, because I was ready to go to jail and my family wasn't. And so, I... They weren't ready for me to go to jail, is what it means. So, the thing is, guys, why do they say God's all love and God loves us just the way we are and God wants the best for everybody and God wants us to be happy and He wants to have a family, and you Christians, you are just terrible? Why do they think that way? They think that way because they don't read the Word of God. They think that way because they don't know any better. They think that way because of propaganda, and our society has taught them lies and deceit, and the Christian has done nothing to stop it. I believe this, and I said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll keep saying it again until it changes or I go to heaven. The problem is the homosexuals have come out of the closet and the Christians went into it. Why? You don't understand God, or you don't have a proper relationship with God. Your testimony is terrible because your thoughts are terrible. And you go, you're judging. If I'm wrong, forgive me. But it only applies to those that I'm right about. How's that? God bless you, honey. So listen, what I'm talking about, guys, is testimony. What I'm talking, we can't go and say, oh, you know what? You're right. God loves everybody. We can say God loves everybody, but, and we won't do that. Why doesn't Christians take a stand? Because it's too dark in the closet. They can't see where they're at. That's why. But we have to have good conversation. But in our conversation, after all that I just said, the first point is that we have to add sweetness to our conversation. What do I mean by saying? Some of you are going, oh, you should not have left that, or you should have left that point out. We have to add sweetness to our conversation. Listen, I hate the sin that's going on. I don't hate the people. And so with everything that I've said, you need to understand this. God loves a person, He hates the sin, and their sin is no different than our sin. It's just uglier because it's out, and it's more offensive because they're showing it, or they're in public display. But if we lived our sin out in the public display, I imagine it would be just as offensive. Sin's sin. You know who categorizes sin? We do. Oh, it's okay to do this, but you can't do this, and you definitely can't do this. And God says, you don't understand, do you? All of it's sin. All of it's ugly. All of it's unrighteous. All of it's wrong. All of it's offensive. I don't want any of it. But our morality and our you know, it's what we can bear. Well, I can handle this. Okay, God, I know you don't like it, but it's not that bad. Look at what so-and-so's doing. We justify it. But as long as it's okay and settles well with us, we think it's okay. Why do we do that? That's because we don't have the right relationship. But we got to have sweetness in our conversation. You know, I've got several friends who are homosexuals, so don't think for a minute that I'm against the people. I'm not. But even with them, I've told them, listen, man, and they claim to be Christians. And my question is, how can you be a Christian? And I want an answer. How can you guys know how I am? I'm bold. I don't mind asking anybody anything. How can you be a Christian? How can you call yourself a Christian and practice what you're practicing? God loves us all. I didn't say that. I believe God loves us all. He doesn't love us all the way we are, though. He wants us to change. We have to become righteous. And all they want to do is say, well, God loves us. You don't want to accept the fact that God doesn't love your sin because you don't want to give up the lust of the flesh. You don't want to give up what pleases you. Well, I'm going to tell you, if what pleases you displeases God, you got a problem. You got to let it go. You got to work on it. And when you do that, man, God's going to open up a door for you and He'll bless you. And man, I'm going to tell you, you're talking about sweetness. God's blessing in God's hand is sweet. But we need, the Bible says here in 4:6, let your speech always be with grace. You know, it's okay to ask those hard questions. It's okay to go places that are uncomfortable. As long as you do it with the right heart attitude, and you've extended grace to that person like God's extended grace to you, it's okay. Don't think, oh, just because I'm a Christian, I can't do this. Why? If it's right, do it. Take a stand. Well, it's going to offend them. Anything's going to offend them. God's righteousness offends them. God's holiness offends them. You think? Listen, just do it. Just share the gospel. Man, it changes. Because you know what? You don't know what God's doing to that person and how God's worked on their heart. He may have prepared the soil just for you. But if you don't take advantage of it, you miss the harvest. But you have to have the right heart attitude. Luke 4:22 says, "So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And they were referencing Jesus. But let me tell you this. There were times, and the reason I'm talking about sweetness, and I want you guys to get the idea that we don't have to be sickening sweet, that we miss the gospel and we miss reaching the people. Because there were times when Jesus walked in and he didn't use much of any words. He grabbed the table and he flipped them over. Because there was unrighteousness in his house. But then there were times like here where they go, "Wow, man, I can't believe how gracious his words are." See, guys, it has to be fitting. It has to be with the right heart. But we as Christians do not have to be cowards. We as Christians do not... Listen, we got to be meek. Do you know what meekness is? Meekness does not mean weak. We think, "Oh, he's meek. He's all Minnie Mouse stuff." No, meekness is power under control. Our power and our strength comes from God, and it's under control. We have to be meek. I don't have time to go on to this next illustration, so I will just go on. By the way, we can win more people with honey than with vinegar. When I first got saved, like I said, I was wide open, and I was saved in a Baptist church in the South, where the preacher, when he'd get fired, and you knew when it was coming. You knew when he was pulling the shotgun out, because he would be up here at the pulpit like this, and then he would step to the side, and then he would do this. He'd step back one step. I don't know why. I don't know that he knows why. Then you figure, man, the leg would come up and the hand would go out and he would preach. And man, that's what I grew up. And so when I got saved, or at 27, that's what I grew up as a Christian on, at 27. And man, I got out there and they would call me Son of Thunder. I kid you not. My pastor would come up to me and I'd say, "Preacher, you need to do this and this." And he'd go, "Oh, Son of Thunder." You know, and then there's times where I'd bring people in whether they wanted to come in or not. I'm like, "Dude, no, you don't understand. You're going to church with me." "I don't want to." "Like, I care. Let's go." And I had more people sitting in the pew that didn't want to be there than probably that did want to be there. But it was okay, you know. But I would go in, and man, I was just so strong. And my pastor would always have to tell me, "John, you need to calm down. I'm calm. You don't want to see me excited. I'm calm." "No, you're not calm." "Yeah, I am." "Okay." So I realize I'm high strung, but you guys realize it too. It's okay. But man, we would go out there, and he would say this all the time. You know, "You catch more flies with," and he's Southern, "Son, you catch a whole lot more flies with honey than you will sugar or with vinegar." And I say, I know, but you know what? Every now and then they need a shot of vinegar too, just to wake them up." And so I wouldn't let go of my vinegar, and he would try, and it was all good. But guys, we need to get out of there. So, number two, adding seasoning to our conversation. Adding seasoning to our conversation. You know, because our conversation, I don't know about you, but this is driving me crazy. And I don't know what the problem is with people. And obviously it's their problem. And my children have the same problem, so I'm not picking on anybody in specific. The word "like." Oh yeah, some of you already know where I'm going. Like, I'm going over there and like they said and like and like. And it goes on and on and on. And I was like thinking, no, how about you were just thinking? Yeah, couldn't you say that? And I was thinking... No, we got to go. And like, I was like thinking, and I want to shoot myself or cut somebody's wrist when they do that. And just watch them go, like, "It's bleeding, like, look, like." Don't you want to, like, you really watch it, like. I mean, you just kind of want to see it for the last moment and know it's going to fade away. Like, man, our conversation, people don't use new words. Because they're not learning anything new. They're so sidetracked by all the junk and the Jerry Springer show and the Oprahs and all that. I don't even know what's on anymore because I don't watch it anymore. It's disgusting. And we're all influenced by watching that we don't take the time to learn. "Well, I went to school when I was young." Well, you need to go back. You know what I'm saying? We need to learn, and our conversation has to be seasoned. I don't want to listen to somebody that come up and tell me, like, you know, I just want you to know about Jesus, like, he's really cool, you know, like, he saved me, like, you understand what I'm saying? No! Like, get out of my face! That's what you want to do. But we have to listen. We have to add seasoning to our conversation. He says, let your speech, in 4:6, he says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Salt has three things, or salt does three things. And I got to buzz through this. Salt does three things. One, it adds tang, adds flavor, right? I mean, you put a little salt, you taste an egg, and listen, if you just fry up an egg and eat it, or for me, I go, ooh, or maybe scramble it. I'm like, okay, let me just get it down. Put a little salt on it. Okay, summer fun, corn on the cob. Who can eat corn on the cob without putting salt on it? You people are sick. I thought I had everybody a corn on the cob. So... pretend them people weren't in the room. And so... what happened? Yeah, we like salt. We like it adds flavor. Don't ruin my illustration, guys. It adds flavor, man, where it all of a sudden is not bland anymore. It's good. So it adds tang, and it adds flavor, and then salt preserves. You know, they used to preserve their meat with salt. And so when we have salt in our conversation, when we talk, I mean, it's a preservative. It's when we share Christ, man, it gives, it preserves, it is holding. Listen, the Word of God does not go out in vain. And so salt preserves. And then the next thing that salt does is it creates a thirst. Now, if you don't believe me, go to Outback. And I don't care what you get out of Outback, because they take your steak or your piece of chicken and they put this much salt on it. And when you walk out of there, you drink 18 of these before you go to bed. And then you don't sleep at night because your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth. Your mouth is still dry, but now you have all this water you have to get rid of. Let me tell you something. Man, salt creates a thirst. And what about the lady at the well in John 4:15? What'd she say? She said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. I'm telling you, the salt I'm talking about is the Word of God. And when we give it, man, it creates more. They want more. The problem is we don't know it enough to give. Then our last point. Adding spirit to our conversation. It says here in 4:6c, which is the third part of verse 4:6, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That you may know how you ought to answer each one. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready. But before you do that, you have to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You got to know Him. You got to have a relationship with Him. You got to have Him right here. And how can you get Him here if you don't know what's in here? It correlates. You can't do one without getting in the other. You got to sanctify the Lord God. There was an Irishman who, when he was asked what he believed, replied this. I believe what the church believes. When asked, and what does the church believe? He replied, the church believes what I believe. Then when asked, and what do you both believe? He declared, why, to be sure, we both believe the same thing. He had no clue. He had no clue. But we have to have a spirit, or add a spirit to our conversation, because we got to know it. We got to learn it. We got to bring God with us via the Holy Spirit. And so when we share the gospel with somebody, God's doing the work, not us. We're just being obedient servants. We should know how to give an answer to every man. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 says. And that's part of being a Christian. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Guys, do you give attention to that? Do you give attention to what God's called us to be? Is your testimony where it's supposed to be? Do you have it flavored just right? See, when I first got saved, mine wasn't flavored just right. Mine was full-blown, all salt, just offensive and bitter, and would choke people sometimes. And I tell you, the first year I was saved, I won over 100 people to the Lord. I don't know if it was all real or not. Some of it might have been persuasive. I don't know. But, because you want to see people get saved, you're like, man, you can't go to hell. And now, I just say, okay, Lord, do your work, but allow me to be the light they see. You know, do you realize that you may be the only Bible that anybody ever reads? You may be the only Bible that they read. I hope you're written well. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to take long. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I do not want you leaving here in the same condition that you came in. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Whether you believe it or not, we cannot change the truth. That's the beauty of truth. It is not dependent upon what we believe. And so if you're here today, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I want you to know right now that in order for you to get there, you have to repent. Repent of your sins. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that if you believe and if you confess with your mouth, those are the two requirements for salvation. I'm going to ask you today, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, shed His blood for your sins and mine, that we would have a way to heaven? If you believe that, then the next thing you have to do is you have to confess it. You have to cry out to Him. Quietly in your heart, I want you to pray this prayer if you want to receive Christ as your Savior. Understand this. The prayer does not save you. The words do not save you. It is your heart condition. The prayer just walks you through what your heart is feeling. If you wish to receive Christ today, you pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I cannot save myself. I realize I cannot get to heaven without You, Jesus. So right now, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I ask that You come into my heart, save my soul, that heaven would be my eternal home.